time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, man. It's all about intonation. You know what I mean? It's all about the intonation.
And reflection.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but yeah, shout out to the listeners. Shout out to y'all. You know, happy Black History Year. You know, shout out to the leg days.
Yeah. What's this? You know, Women's History Year alongside.
Women's History Year. Right, running parallel. Yeah, we out here. Celebrating. Mm-hmm. Celebrating, elevating.
Word up.
That's enough. You know what I mean? That's enough. Two bars. What's up, man? How you doing, man? What's going on?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm down here in Atlanta, missing home. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get back off on the weekend, you know what I'm saying? This shit. It's been a long run, you know what I'm talking about. So, I'm missing New York right now, and you know, can't wait to see it, see my own bed. You know what I'm saying? Get up out of this hotel, which is a whole nother motherfucking thing. Yeah,
some hotel drama.
Yeah, man, I got a little hotel drama, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hotel drama. What's going on, man? Can't talk about it.
I can. I'm just trying to gather and trying to gather my emotions. You know what I'm saying? Trying to gather all of my emotions and shit.
Compose yourself.
So, you know, I'm, you know, come in Saturday night, cool, go upstairs, go to sleep, come back out Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful day. I mean, it was a beautiful weekend. You know what I mean? Shit, Merlot was, you know, freshly from the car wash on Saturday. So Sunday morning is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Got, you know, nice weather, you know, my AC working and shit, so got the, you know what I'm saying, about to have the dew piping, as they would say in Miami, you know what I'm saying, which translates to, you know, it's so cold in your car that the condensation on the window, you know, turn your window into dew, you know, so you got the dew piping, so I'm ready, you know what I'm saying, it's a beautiful, you know, got my stretch on. Merlot pulls up, big ass scuff across the bumper, broken blinker light in the front on the left side. Ooh. A little scuff dent across the right where the hood meets the left quarter panel. Ah, my nigga. What the fuck? Man, it was, you know, we parked the cars, you know what I'm saying? The general public could park there too. And when we back in, sometimes they don't, and they hit the corner and, you know, clip cars a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, a lot of times, man, nobody. Nigga, I can't just go and file a claim and then this shit just get fixed, nigga. I might have to find a whole. Because you got to find the parts, nigga. This 1985. They ain't just laying around and shit.
Right.
You ain't gonna go to, you know, AutoZone and get a, you know what I'm saying, a blinker light. So, nigga, I'm sick. I gotta get out of this hotel.
Oh, well, whoa, let me ask you this. Are they taking some accountability? Are they holding you down? Is it compensation or is it on you?
They taking some accountability. Okay. They filled the claim. Okay. I ain't heard from the motherfuckers yet, but apparently, you know what I'm saying? You know, they supposed to call 3 to 5 days, which tomorrow would make 3 days. So they on the clock, you know what I'm saying? They supposed to, you know, take care of it, bomb, 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 whoop, whoop. But, you know, that has yet to be worked out. So, I'm in my feelings, but I'm hot. I'm mad. I'm all in the feels. You know what I'm saying?
Just another
day in the A, boy. Shit,
niggas throwing bows. automotive bowls. No, Merlo got caught in a damn what do you call it? A scrum and a damn mosh pit. Let me ask you this. And I hate to say this during Black History Year, right? But Merlo, you know, we trying to seek justice for Merlo.
No doubt.
Moments like that, due to the systematic oppression of America, you know what I mean? And this fucking weight on my back that this shit is giving me and this low ceiling of expectation that it is giving me. Moments like that when your automobile gets twisted up at a hotel and you looking for justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's moments like that where in my mind I say, now how would a white man handle this? You know what I mean? And I hate to say that during Black History Year, but I just feel like for white folks, justice is just some shit that, you know, it just comes with breathing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where it's nothing that you got to hope for. It's just what you expect. We got to make things right.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just part of the ecosystem.
Right.
You know. But when you black, you kind of just hope for this shit. Hoping they do the right thing. Hoping it don't be no bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We so used to bullshit in place of justice that there's a bit of, it's like this fucking conflict of, or this meaning of anxiety meets aggravation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm anxious about some bullshit because I think some bullshit could happen, and I don't want to have to get aggravated with these motherfuckers to really push this shit through.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling in the pursuit of justice for Merlo?
Well, I will say this, you know what I'm saying? You know, I've been in this particular hotel, shit, every month since October, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I've done a week at this hotel, at least a week since October. Mm. This last stretch has been about, shit, it's been about 5 weeks, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, probably, you know, subtract a day here, 2 days there. But it's been about 5 weeks. So, you know, the staff know, it's the valet, Merlo is a valet favorite. You know what I'm saying? So
okay, got it.
So,
got
you know, niggas was really, you know what I'm saying, like, of all, you know what I'm saying, of all cars, right, like this right. one? So,
yeah.
And it was kind of like checkout time, so it was a crowd out there and shit. I'm, you know, I get to spinning in circles and shit when I get to, you know what I'm saying, about to blow a cork. So
Right.
So, nah, they addressed it immediately. There wasn't even no problem. There wasn't no question of, what's about to happen. Because, you know what I'm saying? Again, they you know, Merlo is a valet favorite. We've been in the space, you know what I'm saying, for quite some time. And so I can't say I'm waiting for the corporate people to call me. Now, see, the corporate people ain't call you. That's when you get the real shit, you know what I'm saying? These are the people that know you. So it's like, you know, Lord. But, you know, that's terrible. Like, man, they got to find us more space, you know, all this type of shit. But it's when the corporate people call, that's when the real rubber hit the road, you know? So we going to see. We going to see, you know what I mean? And I'm just going, I mean, I'm going to press it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you know, but I don't feel like they not gonna take care of it. Good thing is it's not a lot of like metal damage, you know what I'm saying? Like the where they really clipped the front quarter panel, I already had like a bra. It's like a clear bra on it anyway. So
okay.
It's like just like where the bra meets the little curve of the light. It's a little scratch right there, a little dent. So I don't think that's gonna be too much to bang out. It's just really the light is broke, so we got to get a new fixture in there, and then hope that he could, you know, sand out and sand down some of that bumper and fill in the bumper where, you know, it got a little nice little scad, like a little, you know. You know how when you fall on your knee, you know what I'm saying?
Little keloid. Yeah.
You scuff your knee like with the scab hanging off a little bit. It's a little bit of that.
I know he's gone.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hopefully that could be, you know, sanded and filled in, and we'll be back in business. I got a good guy, Mr. Leon. Mr. Leon used to be at Buckhead Paint and Body for 30 years. And last time I got in the parking lot, he started his own shop. He'd been at Buckhead for 30 years, but then he left and started his own shop. So, so he know what to do and how to do it. So last time I took it to him, he made it like it didn't even never existed. You know what I'm saying? So
that's what's up. Take it back to Leon.
Yeah, take it back to Mr. Leon with my settlement.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Okay. Right. That's what's up. Good to hear that.
So, but you know what I'm saying? Long story short, moral of the story is I got to get out of that hotel, man, and come up with something a little more permanent.
Yeah. Hopefully that works out, man. I'm sure something will come about.
Yeah. I'm working on something. On something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's no getting double back to the old spot, is it? Or is that not available no more?
I mean, the trip part about the old spot is that they done doubled the price. Last year's price ain't today's price.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Shit.
Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? Got no grandfather clause?
I wish I did. You know what I'm saying?
I need to go check.
But, you know what I'm saying? They want for the 1B what I was paying for the 2B. You know what I'm saying? So.
Damn, yeah. You like one of them old niggas, them old motherfuckers from the 40s. Talking about. On apartments back in the day, my day was $300,
nigga,
for this whole building. Yeah,
nigga, my day wasn't even a year ago. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, man.
Shit, I moved out of there. It was October. Well, it was like September. You know what I'm saying? September. So it ain't even been a year.
Yeah, based on the demand, it might be a way to work around that. I'm talking out my ass, but it might be a way to work around that. Based on, you know, how long, you know, it ain't been that long. You've already, you know, you got the goodwill of having a lease there before. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not just coming in the door as somebody fresh off the street. You got, you know, you got intel. You got a good record of, you know, paying on time. You know what I'm saying? So that should help something. Hopefully, maybe somebody could work some type of magic, man. That would be dope, man. I wonder how a white guy would handle that. Well, actually,
I mean, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I need to get the same rate that I had last year. What I mean, I haven't even been gone 6-7 months. You know what's the problem? Like, come on,
what's going? I mean, it's clear.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. They love that word, ridiculous.
They mean that shit. That shit be working for them. Proved to be ridiculous. They get shit shifted. But yeah, man. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you about getting up out of that hotel. I was in a hotel this past weekend. Not as long as you was. I wasn't living, but I was in Atlantic City from Friday to last night in a damn. In the Borgata, I did the Borgata again. And it's cool. It's interesting when you're in a casino hotel because, you know, that shit is going on 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not a gambler, so I'd be sidestepping it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even fuck with it. But just being somewhere for just that long. Even though it ain't even that long, but just being somewhere for all them days, I know how it is. You want to get back to the crib. I was actually I'm happy that I did it because I knew I was gonna appreciate it when I did. But when I left, I made my bed nice. So when I came back, you know, if I can't, because my plan was probably going to come back in the middle of the night anyway, not even early morning, but in the middle of the night off the road weary. And then, you know what I'm saying? That bed got them little fake ass hospital corners on them. You know what I'm saying? That feels like love. Mm-hmm. But it was almost a nice smooth sail, you know, until fucking Google Maps, GPS, CarPlay, and all of them kind of conspired to fuck my little home stretch up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on my way. I'm getting to it. You know, and we making good time. You know, it's always about making good time. Mm-hmm. You know, I left right after the show, so I'm like, it's not the longest drive, but the show was over like 10. I'm trying to get up out of there at the latest 10:30. You know what I mean? Check out all of that shit. Try to beat, there's no traffic at night, but you know, a little could be a little tight, but I'm going off adrenaline and momentum. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Caught me a little, a cup of coffee from the employee lounge. I had a had the other half of a weak ass donut that I bought from this bakery earlier in the week. Terrible bakery. But I had a little bit of the donut left just to dunk it to the coffee. Jumped in the whip, make a good time, listening to podcasts, having a blast, you know. On my way home, and I'm right at the split where you could go either Lincoln Tunnel or you could go George Washington. Now, I'm a George Washington type of cat because I'm uptown. Mm-hmm. The GPS is telling me to go Lincoln. I'm like, come on, GPS, what are you doing? I'm over here. I'm to the left. I know this part. I know, because that's the thing about the GPS. We be so stupid with these smartphones that we just forget to engage our own active mind power. Mm-hmm. And we just a slave to whatever the GPS telling. Sometimes I'm in the car, I swear to you, the only person I know where we going is the phone. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, nah, I'm going to go left. It looked like I got 15 minutes on the clock. So I go left, you know, go past the little off ramp that I was supposed to get off. That shit turned to a full 33 minutes. I'm like, ah, but I still don't see no traffic. I'm looking on the CarPlay. I see no traffic, but I'm feeling ashamed, and I'm feeling like I played myself. You know, I feel like Google Maps is like, nigga, I told you. Because that's what happens sometimes when you go against the GPS. And I've learned that lesson a couple times. And I always say, this is the last time I need to learn this lesson. Let me go ahead and yield to the GPS. But there I go being insubordinate. So I go through. It's 33 minutes on the clock, and it's getting late. And I was, you know, when you see we within 15 minutes, you start getting ready. Because also, I got to add, if it's after midnight, I hate to say it, I got to add damn near, if not a full hour, maybe more, of looking for parking. You know what I'm saying? So that's a whole nother journey. So now I'm like, 33, why the fuck is it 30? And I don't see no traffic on the CarPlay. So then it's telling me to get off on another exit. You know sometimes how the GPS kind of smoothly try to get you back to doing what the fuck they want you to do? Mm-hmm. So they kind of trying to finesse a U-turn out of a nigga. I don't even realize I'm being turned around. So I get out the shit, I'm being turned around. I realize, oh, they doing that to me. In the middle of the curve, I realize, oh, they doing that to me. So I pull off to the side. I look at my GPS, because now I got to read the directions, see what they do. And I say, oh, I see what they try to do. But then there's a notification saying George Washington Bridge is closed. Ooh. I say, what? Why is the George Washington Bridge? Okay, damn, George Washington Bridge is closed. Okay. You know, immediately I say, okay, they would know better. They Googling them. You know Ooh. What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, George Washington Bridge is closed. That's odd. You know what I mean? What's going on? But I guess it's Monday night. You know what I mean? This is after midnight, so maybe that's where they get their little repairs in. But that's a big-ass bridge. That's what we do. We going to close the whole bridge. There's people that need to, you know, transport. But anyway.
Niggas say, need to get home.
Yeah, that's what I think. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't see no indication, no signs that said, up ahead, George Washington Bridge closed, detour. Only person that's telling me this is Googling them. So I try to Google real fast. You can't out-Google Google. You know what I'm saying? Google like, nigga, I said what I said. I'm looking. I'm like, yo, is George Washington Bridge closed? Google send me some shit. In 1920, George Washington Bridge was closed on one day. Nigga, I don't need the history of George Washington. I want to know about tonight. Maybe the shit is too soon to get some Google information. Google like this, and this is what I gave you. So I say, all right, fuck it. I heed to the U-Bot. Going back around. They basically leading me back to the fucking Lincoln Tunnel exit that I drove past. You know what I mean? On some other shit. So I'm going back down that way. And then my exit. So I go through a toll, and then there's an exit that I'm supposed to take after after the toll. And as I'm getting up to the toll, the fucking CarPlay slash Google Map shit switches to, it says, keep going. Like, the exit is no longer available for me to go. So I go the way that the shit is telling me on the CarPlay. Of course, when I go the way that it's telling me on the screen, the shit start rerouting. Nah. You know, you hate when they get a reroute. Now it's a reroute. Now we got another 15 minutes on the clock. So now we went from 30 to 45 minutes from a 15-minute arrival. Nigga, we 45 minutes into a 15-minute arrival. Now they got to U-turn me again through the toll again. So I'm double tolled, which is some bullshit. And I don't know if you know that. I don't fuck with these tolls because I don't know if you fuck with Easy Pass. But Easy Pass, I think we talked about this shit, is a fucking highway robbery, literally, because them niggas will replenish however they feel sometimes. You got to call them niggas, say, listen, don't take no more than $25 out of my account. Anyway. So then, boom, now that shit turned to 45 minutes and I'm finally getting, now I go through the Lincoln Tunnel and then I'm going uptown. Fortunately, it's after hours, so it's not much traffic, but it's just out the fucking way. Takes me damn near maybe 45 minutes to find parking. Park my whip, get my shit up to the spot. Home sweet home, nice, you know, fake ass hospital corners on the bed. So I sleep kind of good, but I'm on the alternate side, so I can't even all the way, because at this point it's damn near 3 o'clock. So I can't even really get a good, I can't even get a good allotment of hours. You know what I'm saying? I got the alternate side anxiety that's going to wake me up at least 2 hours before I'm supposed to really get up. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so after that, I do my little alternate side shit today. And I'm sitting in the crib and I say, let me go ahead and Google, was the George Washington Bridge closed last night?
Oh, this nigga need closure.
I gotta get some resolution, my nigga. I feel a way about this shit. I still feel like I was gaffled. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit.
And sure enough, nigga, one lane was closed last night. One fucking lane. I could have gone that way and saved myself 30 minutes and two extra tolls. But this motherfucking Google, man.
Man, but you didn't know how long it was going to take you to get through that one lane.
I didn't, I mean, you know, but true. But they didn't say one lane was closed, because I could have fucked with the one lane closed as opposed to going from the theater district all the way back uptown. Mm-hmm. I'd have done the, I had good, like I had good podcasts. I even had some playlists on deck. I was chilling. I'd rather be close, you know what I'm saying? But I kind of feel a way, man. I want to kind of fight the system. You know what I mean? Right. I want to start a class action suit, but I know I ain't going. But, you know, there we go again. Like, what would the white man do? He would take
me down. But I'm saying, the thing about that shit is, man, once you go against the grain one time and you end up fucked up, you just got to stick with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And live with your decision. You know what I'm saying? I decided to go against the Google to take my own route. And it fucked me.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Unplug that shit. I should have just unplugged the fucking GPS at that point. Just
and live with whatever come down that road. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Live with all whatever traffic, whatever accident, whatever. Oh, you just got to, hey, I'm here now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's good advice.
That's a life lesson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You make a choice, you got to live with your choice. You know what I'm saying? People get halfway down the road on their choice and see the traffic like, ooh, I might make a U-turn. Let me tap into somebody else's plan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I should have said, fuck it. Unplug the whole shit and just kept it going.
Yeah. You know how to get home. Hands.
I know, and that's the funny thing. You're so fucking seduced by the machinery, you forgot you got your own intelligence. I'm so fucking on this AI, I forgot about my own eye.
Right.
Anyway,
your third eye.
Yeah, my third eye was closed to the motherfucker.
And you fucked around and got on your TI.
Mm-hmm. Expeditiously. Oh,
not.
Man.
Ah, man, shit. You know, it be like that, though, man. You know, back in the day, boy, I be trying to figure out. I don't even know how we orchestrated shit back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Niggas meet up at a whole concert. You got to fucking vibe your way to your people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no cell phone. You just gotta, all right. Now, who am I with? I'm with Todd. I'm with Punk. Okay. Uh-huh. See, yeah, that nigga, Todd, he like to stay in one spot. And he usually right. be posted up by the, okay, let me check by that. Oh, nah, that ain't that. Uh-huh. Well, who else in the crew? Oh, yeah, that nigga right there, he like to be in the middle of the mix. Oh, yeah, he definitely in the middle of the mix. You know what I'm saying? Go to the middle of the mix. There he is. All right, bet. Where everybody at? Yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody over at the food court, nigga. All right, shit, we here now.
Yeah.
Damn. That was an adventure just finding your people. That was half the adventure.
Right. You got to remember jackets and shit like that. Mm-hmm. They got a blue jacket on, right? All right, bat. We going to find out this nigga. Yeah, I got it. Can't. You know what's funny? I find myself in slight resistance. I say slight resistance because it's so fast how soon you succumb to the technological advances that, mm-hmm. you know, surmount your own intelligence. Like, I know when I first got a whip when I jumped from the roller to the Accord Sport. This was years ago when mm-hmm. I first got into the later model whip, got back into the present day. I had a car that had the little backup camera.
Oh yeah.
And I remember, your first introduction to the backup camera, and I was like, nah, I can't even allow myself to get used to this. I gotta still keep it old school. I had the backup camera, but I'm still this motherfucker putting my arm over the passenger seat, looking back through the thing, because I feel like that's just the integrity of it all. You know what I mean? Dog, I ain't looked at it, and I haven't done that shift in forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I go all the way through the backup camera. And sometimes when the backup camera, sometimes every so often the camera not working, you get a little nervous as if you can't just shift your body and look out the window. Like, there's still a window right. there.
Right.
But it's just that quick how these little leaps in technology mm-hmm. will make you say, oh, yeah. I don't need to think for myself. But the truth is.
Nah, man. See, the problem is like.
That eye open.
That backup cam shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like mm-hmm. driving a computer game, you know what I'm saying? Driving a video mm-hmm. game. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? You could get it right because you got the lines they give you. Hey, this how you going to be straight now. You know what I'm saying? You go to the yellow lines. Right. This all you need to do. But mm-hmm. for some reason, I park Marlow better than I park the new models. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just
right.
on your own, it's 1985, baby. All you got is your mirrors and your windows. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And you yeah. zoop, zoop, and you got to, you know, kind of feel when you getting close enough to the wall. You know what I'm saying? You got to eye that shit out. You know what I mean? You got to feel when you straight in mm-hmm. the space. And I get it right way more times in Merlot than I do in the new model. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just weird trying to do it in a screen, you know? But then they mm-hmm. put that screen there so they don't have to engineer the car in a way where you can see shit.
Oh,
and a lot of these new shits, you got a lot of blind spots and shit that they kind of shore up with the cameras. And be like, man, this shit, I can't see a motherfucking thing, you know?
We have a glitch. We assed out. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could use the mirrors, but, like, looking over your shoulder, man, they got this shit built bad body than a motherfucker. So
a lot of the mirrors are getting smaller, too. They ain't no, you know, I'm sure the Merlot got a big-ass mirror. Them old school, you know what I mean? Huge mirrors.
What they got is big-ass windows. You know what I'm saying? That shit like a glass house. You be like, okay, you see all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then when you can't see, you roll down the window and look down. Okay, there it is. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's funny now, like, especially times when, like, I'm waiting on parking, like, you know, all to the side parking or whatever. Everybody's starting to get their parking going on. So you might not encounter this too much because, you know, you park in front of your crib. Right, but
nigga, like on this street. Public parking in front of my crib.
Well, nah. Well, let me get to it. And maybe you do. Maybe you do. But this is the thing that I noticed. Like, if you're parking out in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather somebody like when I'm sitting in a parking spot and a parking spot opens up in front of me, mm-hmm. more often than not, I'll pull up. Because mm-hmm. what happens is I can't stand, because I guess now we got all of that camera confidence, mm-hmm. and I definitely pay attention to how old the car is, and I'm wondering if they got a camera, because what happens with the camera confidence is people be swinging them cars in fast as hell, mm-hmm. and it look like it's going to clip you. Mm-hmm. But then, you know what I mean, and just before it's about to clip you, because they hearing all of the beep, beep, beep. Mm-hmm. They slow down, they hit it, but that fuck with my nerves oftentimes, and I'm not... Look, I'm not above a tap of the horn, like, you know what I mean? Which could start a little problem, but I don't like to have all of the, I don't like my nerves being worked when I'm just sitting here in the parking spot.
Hey,
I sound about 73 years old.
Hey, yeah. Man, I hate that shit. You be parking, especially when you're in the new whip, and it be like, man, I got a whole camera in this mother. I do not want to hit your shit, for sure. I don't want no scuffs on my bumper. Mm-hmm. I don't want none of that. You know what I'm saying? I care. So you ain't got to hit your horn at me, man. I ain't hitting you. I'm good, nigga. I'm a back up beep, 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 and I'm good.
Uh-huh. Right. And I'm the same way on the other side of things. See, that's the funny thing. I've always seen the hypocrisy in me as a driver, because I'll blow the horn at a pedestrian when they take it too long to cross that street. But when I'm a pedestrian, I get the horn blown at me. I feel a certain type of way. So I understand. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. It's just, it is fucked up. Life is real out here. Anyway. Oh, shit. What's good with you, man? What's going on funny. Other than fleeing that hotel?
Oh, man, shit, coming down to the end of the docuseries project that I'm working on, so that's good, feeling good about that, you know. You know, I ain't never had to deliver nothing to a network, so that's you know, I've been an independent wildcat, you know, you deliver to yourself or deliver to, you know what I mean?
Right. Publish.
A client. You press the publish.
Right.
So when you delivering to... No, a network, your own work, you know what I'm saying? It's weird trying to figure out how they gonna judge that shit.
Mm-hmm. You getting notes and shit like that?
Yeah, about to get notes. Well, I don't have them yet, but think about it, I don't get nervous about notes because I detach myself from it, from doing like branded content.
Gotcha.
So I detach myself from it.
You still put this in a branded content sense?
No.
This is kind of still more you. Okay.
No, this me. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is a real thing. So, no, I just learned the lesson. It's like sometimes you get these lessons along the way so that when you get to certain places, you've already learned it. So when I'm on my own and I started doing a branded content and you doing content for a brand and they got a whole approval process, they got a creative service department, they got a whole bunch of shit, lawyers.
Right.
And then you turn your stuff in and they give you notes. In the beginning, you kind of take them shits personally. Like, oh, man, like, y'all asked for this. I gave y'all that. And they be like, nah, we want this. You be like, psst. And then you get all, you know, in your feelings, and then it's hard to finish it because you like, man, this shit is whack. But I've learned through that shit, like, probably like the second branded content project I did, motherfucker said, I think I needed the money. At the time, like, you know what I'm saying, it was a good deal, but I needed that shit, so I ain't want no hiccups. I was like, well, yeah, like, why don't we put this there? In your mind, you're like, man, that don't make no sense. But all right, you put it there, and they love it. Oh, we love it. You're like, man, that's whack, but fuck it. But after you learn that you got to take your emotions out of that shit, motherfuckers say, we want, all right, bet. Oh, this is great. We love you. You know what I mean? And it's like, you just, because you're going to move on to the next one anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that helps you when you have to get this criticism. Like, even, you know, at my job, you got criticism from every level of delivery. And then in this docuseries, you're going to have criticism. They're going to say, hey, we like this, we don't like that. Or we want it this way, and you got it that way. And at a certain point, you'd be like, ah, man, this was what I was really trying to do. You want to explain it. But after you explain it and they still ask, you're like, shit, fuck it. All right, cool. You know what I'm saying? It's, as I say on this thing all the time, you got to get to the other side of the invoice. And and you know what I'm saying, that requires you to take notes, to accept criticism, you know what I mean? To understand that you might not know the best for everybody and everything and all the taste. And you know what I'm saying? Even to know when people are just making changes out of spite, that it don't matter. Cause at the end of the day, we gonna get this shit done. So whether it's your way or my way or somewhere in between, it's gonna get done. And I gotta be okay with that. And I am. I'm okay with that. So I ain't nervous about notes, but you know what I'm saying? Delivering actually is more refreshing when you get the notes, because you actually know exactly what you got to do, and you know your parameters of what you're working in between. And you know you might fight for some of the things that you want, but on the other hand, you know, hey, I'm not finna fight I'm not finna throw the project away just because I want, you know what I'm saying, 15 seconds of this at the in the cold open. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. Mm-hmm. Shit, I make my own cut later. Right. Put it on the internet, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Pick your battles. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Speaking of which, Love You Black Man still going viral, dog.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The sound part of it is going viral lately. You know what I'm saying? Erykah Badu posted that shit today, I think.
On Instagram.
I mean, I don't know if she did it on TikTok, but it was on her Instagram. Somebody tagged me in the shit. It's like, okay. All right, damn.
That's hard.
Yeah, shit. That's hard. Love don't stop, baby. Love don't stop.
Nah.
And that was a note that people didn't really want to accept it. I had to compromise on that note. You know what I'm saying? On that note, it was a note that said, you know, I don't know if that's the way we should approach it. We should maybe approach it this other way. But if you do it our way and you got time to add your way, then fine. And that's what happened. It was a compromise, but that's the part that is still living. And that makes you happy. You know what I'm saying? That you didn't throw away the project because you ain't get the right notes that you wanted. They ain't love what you did all the way.
Right.
Nah, you gotta make sure you put your best foot forward and then get that shit in the world. And the world will tell you what works and what don't work.
Yeah. So, have you been in a situation where you got a note that you didn't agree with and it turned out that the note was actually correct?
No, yeah, I've got plenty of times. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's why I say you got to know that you don't know every fucking thing. And
got it.
You know, sometimes people give you a note and it's for the best. You know what I'm saying? It works out like that. Mm-hmm. And that shit did work out, you know? And you got to be good. And sometimes you got to be able to be the person that be like, you know what? That was a good note. I didn't take it at first, but now I see it. You know? I've been in that position. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But again, I've learned over time to disassociate myself from the emotional part of criticism and judgment in the work. So that has helped. You know what I'm saying? It helps in regular life too. Like, you know what I'm saying? People always gonna have a criticism, and you got to be able to believe in what you got, or, you know what I'm saying, shift and adjust accordingly.
Funny, I was thinking, thought about you because you were in the midst, you know, you're at the finish line now, kind of post-production of a 3-part documentary.
It's two parts now. And it's 2 parts now.
Oh, it's 2. Okay. All right. Bet. Well, that's a note. but I thought about you because did you see the Genius documentary, the Kanye 3-part documentary, the Cootie and Chike
situation? I saw part one. I haven't seen 2 and 3 yet, but I mean, damn, yo. Even in the first part, I was blown away because I know Cootie, you know what I'm saying? Cootie is actually, he changed my life in a way, you know what I'm saying? Well, and it's weird because it was a small thing. It wasn't a big thing, but it was a small thing. So when I was doing the magazine, I was going to shoot this interview with Tony Ty over at Dame Dash when he had the DD, whatever it was.
72.
Yeah, DD 72 over there. The gallery and then, you know, this whole creative vibe space. And Cootie and Chike was over there. They was doing all of the video content. They had this sponsorship with Canon. They had the 5D when that shit was brand new. They got tons of them. You know what I'm saying? All the lenses. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they shooting all of the content over there with these 5Ds, which was the game-changing technology cameras. Like, you know what I'm saying? DSLRs. They were the first ones that changed the game. That allowed that
creative control.
Yeah, creative control. So I went over there to shoot Tony, who had a little show on Creative Control on a little network. And so I came in there with my little camera. I had this little camera. It was a Sanyo, like it was like the world's smallest 4K camera at the time. So I thought I was on up on my technology, nigga. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was built like a gun. And but you know, it was cool. It was like good shit for back then, you know. And I'm in there doing my interview, and Cootie, he looked at me. He's like, "Man, what you shooting with?" I'm like, "Man, I'm shooting with this Blase Skip." You know what I'm saying? He's like, "Man, you can't shoot with that in here." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Hold on." I thought he was trying to kick me out because I was like, "Damn, what kind of shit is going on?" He went over there and grabbed the 5D and put it in my hands. That was the first time I ever touched one. That was the first time I ever shot with one and looked at the footage and all that shit. And so I shot with it, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, this shit is raw. Like, this shit is crazy. And then that's what made me decide to go buy one, you know what I'm saying? So my man, after that, Sean P was telling me about it, and he broke it down. This is what you need to do, bum, bum, bum. And then I went, when I got the bread, I went and bought one. But and that's what brought me on this whole content creation journey anyway. You know what I'm saying? Was that 5D. That 5D put you in places where you really weren't supposed to be, but your look was so good, they had to bring you. You know what I'm saying? So, so yeah, shout out to Cootie. So when I saw it, you know what I'm saying, just seeing their work from his work, like just being from Chicago and shooting a local music-based show. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly where I came from. You know what I'm saying? 1992, on the set. You know what I'm saying? Local show. We interviewing rappers and playing videos and shit. And on the set is where I started. That's how I even got into TV or any of that shit. Like, pick up a camera, do the shit. So to see that is already emotional to me. You know what I'm saying? And being that I know him, and I know how humble them niggas is and how long they laid on that and just been doing their thing, just steady. And then, you know, I don't know how accurate it is, but the thing came out last night talking about Netflix gave him $30 million for the footage. That is like, that's inspiring, because it's like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Your day will come, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing. And like I say, I know the niggas, like, niggas been humble. They just been doing their shit steady. So I love to see it, man. Even more than the content of Kanye, I was looking at it more from the content of Cootie. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought about you in the way that they said it was 350 hours of footage that they had. And that wasn't even all the footage. That was just what they dealt with for that. And then that's fucking ridiculous. Obviously, they had a bunch of time to do it, but I think he really kind of started it, like, over the pandemic. And then, you know, it linked it to even more shit. But, one, speaking about Cootie, I think he's a hell of a storyteller. You know, I didn't know he was a former stand-up. I didn't know he used to do stand-up.
Nah, I didn't know that either. But that makes sense.
Yeah, they kind of talk about that. I think they talk about that in the
first episode. I saw it when he said
that. Okay, right. Yeah, because then that makes sense in the way, like, the D-Ray connection. I mean, I knew they was from Chicago, but that just was, you know what I mean, just they connecting in that way. That was the connection that you actually see, I think, in the second episode. Second episode, you see Cootie go up at D-Ray's Mobetta Mondays, which be popping. But it was just he's a good storyteller. You know what I mean? The way they kind of put things in context, put things in perspective. That real fly on the wall feel, like you really there. You know what I mean? Like it, you know. And it also showed that Kanye been Kanye since the beginning. And I think a lot of people forget that. Like, a lot of people think he took some type of a turn. You know what I mean? Everybody has their theories on at what point did he take the turn, whatever, whatever. And obviously there's things that were bumps along the way that that affected him, you know, significantly, namely the loss of his mother, you know what I mean, amongst other things. But he always been, you know, obnoxious, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like from the door. So it's just interesting to see, you know, when the records were popping and the ascension was, you know, it was still on the verge, you know what I mean, when people were buying in a little bit more. Then now, on the other side of billionaire Kanye, MAGA friends and shit like that, it's definitely less tolerable. But, yeah, I enjoyed that shit. It was good. It was funny he said that, you know, he was inspired by Hoop Dreams, which I'm not sure if I even seen the entire Hoop Dreams, but because it's a long-ass documentary. But, like, what I do know about Hoop Dreams, it is a good documentary. But I like this shit. I thought it was really good. And I like how they did it over, you know, 3 weeks, you know. So, yeah, that shit was dope. It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of Hoop Dreams, it's another storyteller out there, my man G Locke. He was like a kid from the Red Hood Projects, and the director of Hoop Dreams was, you know, part of this program that was teaching kids in that neighborhood how to do film. And that's where he got his start on Hoop Dreams, you know what I mean? And then he went along. He rode with that director over different projects. He got Emmys and shit. You know what I'm saying? He's just a cool-ass kid from Red Hook, Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? That kind of got his start under that director on Hoop Dreams. So it's kind of like the lineage of all these things and all these people playing in it. You could see how it affected different lives, you know what I mean? And you don't see that when you actually doing shit. It's just the tail of the tape, you know, reveals itself as things go on in time. And that's the beauty of just being able to live long enough to see shit play out.
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
Or stay the course in your game long enough, you know what I'm saying, to get your time, you know what I mean?
Right. Nah, that's what's up. Shout out to Leah Thomas too. She's one of the big producers of that documentary. Good people. That's one of Nikki P's good peoples. So yeah, good to see that pop off for her. She's been doing a thing in the space for a while. So that was cool to see her name pop up in the title card. That was fire.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Shit, man. What else is going on? I haven't fully abandoned white power just yet, but I am 2 episodes behind. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying. Because I'm trying to be faithful to the power universe. You know what I'm saying? It's been a source of so much content. You know, a lot of listeners, you know, they rocking with it. Shout out to Sammy. I seen her say, you know, if y'all don't cover it, I understand. But, you know, she's watching. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's people watching. People have it all the way, giving up the ghost. No pun intended. But I'm going to try to catch up. You'll see what's what. Maybe we can revisit that in the upcoming weeks. But the slate is about to get nasty because, you know, Snowfall is here. And Atlanta's coming back at the end of this month. I'm avoiding these trailers. I seen the trailer. I don't even like. I like shit like. I just trust it led off the strength of his Atlanta.
Right.
So I'm going to just go. I like to go into shit like that blind. Like, I don't even want to get too many indications of what to expect. But I definitely watched Snowfall. Did you?
Of course.
Okay. Cool. I feel as though this last episode was a bit of a course correction.
Yeah, you know. They got back on track a little bit. Back to the basics.
Yeah. So, it feels like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago. what did you think? What are your thoughts on it?
Okay. So, again, they did come back to the important characters that we really wanted to see. You know what I'm saying? Reed is out here, you know, full of himself. I don't know where he on right now. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, Franklin is Franklining. You know what I'm saying? He the prototypical Hollywood black gangster hero, anti-hero, where, you know, it seems when Hollywood gets involved with a person, and, you know, again, I don't know how the writer's room may have changed since the other seasons or nothing like that, but it seems like when Hollywood get to Hollywood and you got, you know, a smart black character that's, you know, the leading the gang, he can't have no peers. He's above reproach on all levels. Like, you know what I'm saying? He has it all figured out, and nobody else is on his level. You know what I mean? And that's where we at with Franklin. I don't know if they're going to course correct him or level set him or, you know what I'm saying, humble him. Mm-hmm. But right now, he's who he is. He's saying what he said. He the brick by brick. I done built my shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, I see Louie making her play like, nah, nigga, we need the prices that we need. You know what I'm saying? He like come back to the family. And they like, well, hey, nah, we need to run our own shit. You know what I'm saying? And I see a lot of people on social media saying that, you know, they need to fall in line. Franklin is the brains, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But them same brains did not have the streets at all. You know what I'm saying? Louis put him into play for his first play anyway. Mm-hmm. First of all. Second of all, you know what I'm saying? He was losing them streets. He wasn't going to keep them streets because they don't know him in the streets because he ain't go to school over there with everybody. That's why Leon and all everybody else could roll in the streets. Uncle Jerome, he was his own man out there in them streets. Everybody know who he is. He got his own rep, right? Mm-hmm. So they got the streets. He got the plug. Okay, that's fair. But what Louis is saying, like, we could go get another plug. You know what I'm saying? Columbia's is flooding the market. So the thing about it is that Franklin made a lot of decisions that put everybody's, you know, life in danger. And he did it just off of, you know what I mean, off of strength of capitalism, you know, without any consideration to, you know, like life on the, like, who got to live here and be here. You know what I'm saying? Shit, where his parents is, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where his daddy had his mama in Cuba with the bad connection. Like, everybody had to run because of this nigga's decisions. You know what I'm saying? So it's fair for Louis to say, man, we want to run our own program. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Your price is good right now. But we need to run our own program, make our own decisions, move how we want to move, ride horses when we want to ride horses. You know what I'm saying? Put speakers in cars, you know. Shit, right. You know, without having to worry about your political decisions out here in the world. Now, part two of my breakdown is, you know, Uncle Jerome them done upgraded the whip game.
I missed it at the gas station.
The whole show. The whole show. They've been in the Beamer. They've been in the Shark Nose Beamer.
I gotta watch it back with the flip up lights.
With the flip up lights. No, that's too new. You know what I'm saying? They got the CSI joint. They call it the Shark Nose joint. Shark.
Got it.
Hold on.
It look like a triangle kind of joint, right? Kind of triangular.
It look like almost like some old 007 shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of the ones. It's 635,
seven?
635, okay. Like CSI, like it's the joint.
Okay,
it's the one that everybody want right now. So that's what's what make it
hot.
But and then Franklin ride around in the Lack, you know, which was the thing back then. But right now, the Lack didn't age well.
right. But it jibes with his personality. Right. You know what I mean? Because Franklin is very conservative.
Right.
But go ahead. Keep going.
So with Franklin ride around in the Lack. You know what I'm saying? With the Babbitt girlfriend. We don't know where she came from. She just popped on the scene pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know? So Peaches is out here sniffling.
Let's see what that happens. What happens with that? I still, you know, I got the theory.
You know what I'm saying? Then Scully out here scullying. You know what I'm saying? With the scripture. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
that was cool. What I was surprised. I thought Scully was dead. I'm gonna be honest with you. Go ahead.
Nah, but in the hospital, they kind of he fell out in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Right.
That's fair.
It was ambiguous. It was a little ambiguous. I wasn't upset to see him, but I was happy to see him, actually, because I think he's a hell of a villain. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, like, he's definitely more entertaining than homie that got rocked. But go ahead, keep going with your part two.
The funny part is, like, the dude who was working with Scully, who was making the deals with Jerome and them, I actually liked him as a character. I wanted to see him around a little more often. You know what I'm saying? He like filled the void, the like the little man boy void, where he got like a real cat, like, you know, that's really representative of the neighborhood and the culture. Like, you know what I'm saying? He the new young cat. Like, he buying the joints. Mm-hmm. He got on the clothes. He in the strip club. Like, Uncle Jerome, right. They from a little, they like kind of like hybrid the disco era. You know what I mean?
Right.
Franklin, right. Conservative as shit. Leon is trapping. You know what I'm saying? That's just, you know what I mean? It was refreshing to see, and that was one of the things that's been missing from this show is actually the culture. And so it was refreshing to see a character that kind of represented the feel of what was going on with, like, the young cats in the culture.
Right, right.
But that nigga ain't last but one season, one episode.
Got him up out of there.
I'm like, damn, we needed that. Dope.
Yeah, they kind of did him dirty in the way that, like, they ain't do him dirty. It was how the character was, but it just felt like it was written like that guy was a little short-sighted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To have as much ambition and to have as much savvy to be as, I don't say ruthless, but smooth enough to kind of, you know, conspire with Leon and, not Leon, Jerome and Louis, that he would have seen it coming. He was playing chess all the way to the end, and then they come out the side door, and it's like, nigga, that was how it went down. I wasn't mad because it was good to see Scully back, but go ahead.
I'm actually, you know what I'm saying, I done went through my thing. Scully is still true to character. They didn't change his form. Like, every time he come on, they got that 80s electro, that electro funk, you know what I'm saying? Like, they sticking to his character. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Still, I don't know crazy. What they doing with some of these other, you know what I'm saying, situations, but they sticking true to Scully's character. They just taking him overboard to a whole nother level. But
right,
that's what got him into the scripture is, you know what I'm saying, him playing around with all that that devious torture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's definitely the all about the torture. He's definitely an executioner. You know what I mean? He's a wild dude. He is super brutal. What I like.
Go ahead.
What are you about to say?
Nah, it was just one more thing. When the two chicks who Scully girl sent to kill Franklin and shit.
Silk and Diamond?
Yeah, Silk and Diamond. Not Silk and Diamond. Uh-huh. That's Trump people.
Oh, shit. And that is them. But one of them is Diamond.
Yeah,
no,
one of them is Diamond. One of them is Diamond.
Okay.
But to see, you know what I'm saying, like, to see them, like, in regular life, like, dropping their kids off to school, like, damn, that's like...
Right.
That's like some real 80s shit. Like, when crack really hit and you had people just adapting to that model, it was so extreme. It was like, you know, people was doing this, getting money, you know what I'm saying? Fighting and killing and shooting. But then they just still had regular shit to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's like so representative of that era of, like, here you go, you got these hit women, but they dropping them kids off to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You still gotta live regular life. Mm-hmm. You ain't all the way got up out of there yet. You still gotta be kind of on the ground floor for the business to really click.
Go ahead. I done did mine.
Nah, I got just a couple things. Speaking of that, even that little scene when they was dropping the kids off, I like the little big boy reference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That shit was kind of, it was all right. I wasn't bad. It was a little heavy handed.
Yeah, but I didn't like it.
Okay. Yeah. Why you felt like it was just a little too over the top or a little too
I think it wasn't the era. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the era.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
I got you.
They brought in one era and just threw it in the mix of another. Uh-huh. And
right.
It was a little too obtuse for me.
Mm. I like that critique. Oh shit, that's a little obtuse. Oh shit, that's a note a nigga get back. He can't be mad. He might have to go to the dictionary. Oh, this nigga called my shit obtuse. But I hear what you said. It's not in line with the era. I thought it was slick. You know, I'm a sucker for an Easter egg. I thought it was kind of cool. I hope they don't do a whole lot of, because it's a slippery slope. Hopefully this ain't the season where they try to get real cute and do all types of little tricks and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was kind of funny how they split the lineup between the two of them. That might not be sufficient.
Right.
I thought that was kind of cool. What I noticed, one thing that I peeped that I like, it's funny. It's, you know, it seems like, to your point, Franklin's going to have at least one brick-by-brick moment each season. Right. That little moment in the gas station where he got to kind of blow his top a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, assert his bossness, like he's still mm-hmm. the boss. Right. You know what I mean? I know you my aunt
or whatever.
He just ain't
got no employees. He the plug now. And that's what Jerome told plug. Him.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, he's the plug, and they could get another plug. You know what I'm saying? But this his old, he's always very short with the shit. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But I like, if we go back to the face acting, Jerome has some good face acting. With Louis, that moment in the thing where he was like, well, go ahead, have that conversation, because he gave that little look like, all right, I'm gonna let y'all go ahead, because all of this shit said we've had this conversation many a times. I know you've been wanting to have this conversation. You know where I stand. Go ahead and have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? But it was just in the look. He's good. Jerome is a good face actor. Mm-hmm. Like I already said, I forget his name, but the young cat, it was going too soon, kind of. And I just think that the way he was eliminated didn't really line up with the ambition and intelligence that they presented him with. He looked like he was a little bit more savvy than thirsty, and mm-hmm. he got killed kind of being a little thirsty, but right. it is what it is.
But it's a fine line between savvy and thirsty, especially when you got ambitions to be the man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And in that era, you know, because of how democratized the game was with crack,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't. You didn't take a lot of skills to become the man, you know what I'm saying? As it did in previous eras when you had to really be connected mm-hmm. and really work your way into some situations. Crack, you could start with a double up and double that and then get you to a quarter, then a key, and then, you know what I'm saying, now you the man. So mm-hmm. it was really about your own ambitions. It was like, you know, wide open. It's kind of like crack was like the internet for drugs. You know what I'm saying? It just opens shit up. When mm-hmm. if you were able to figure your way out, you could get it, because so many people wanted the product. You know what I mean? That's how the shit was. So,
yeah.
I just, you know.
And I'm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, finish your point. I ain't had no point. Go ahead.
No. Well, I was just gonna also add to it, you know, his age. The fact that he's the younger out of all of them. So that kind of, on a certain level, could kind of justify him speeding. And to everything right. that you just said about the fact that, you know, there's the barrier of entry is not, you know what I mean? It ain't mm-hmm. a whole lot of working under nobody and all of that shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you get a little and flip it and flip it and flip it and get to where you need to get to. And so that kind of, if I had to justify the thirst or the impatient nature of how he was moving, then that's what it was. Also, the fact that he just seen his man get his ear, you know, sliced off by a samurai sword, that's definitely going to make you, you know what I mean, turn your two-week resignation into a, I need to get the fuck out of here ASAP. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So see that.
I like when you know, Jerome now went to see Scully and shit, and nigga was talking all that shit, and Jerome was like, "It's your world, nigga."
Right.
It's your world, nigga.
Clearly,
I'm gonna let you have it, but I'm gonna let you know that I'm still ain't having it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. shit. That was cool. I like the, you know, the quirks of how weird and bugged out Scully is. You know, he's still having birthday parties for his daughter. He talking to his daughter now because he in touch with the ancestors. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He going to the psychics or whatever, the tarot card readers. Like, he's, that's how he living. He feel like, and you could, and I believe him. Like, he really trusts energy. He's on that. He's really big on that energy shit. He even know, like, when they pulled him, when he got caught at his little spot, you could tell even at the door, he felt it was off. You know what I'm saying? But he stepped in and, you know, he took it as it came. But, and I'm curious if there's going to be any blowback to homegirl. His, you know, his little, his psychic or healer, psychic, his tarot card lady. Yeah, that set him up. You know what I'm saying? There's going to have to be some, you know. Maybe that might be bad juju.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when he ain't want to take that money.
Right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he beat it. You know what I'm saying? They all worked it out. They about to be working together again. It's all good. They figured it out. Shit.
They did. Jerome and Louie did. But homegirl put him in a bad situation. Yeah. She compromised him.
He know that lady ain't in the game. He might not go back to her no more, but he know she ain't in the game.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll see what happens. What else do I remember going on? It's interested to see what they trying to set up with this whole Reed situation where Franklin doubled back and went to the site of the meet, went up the stairs to see that, yeah, for sure, that Reed was watching over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, you know. You know, it's, I mean, you know, he's CIA. You know what I'm saying? This cat is, I think that's apparent that there's always going to be an element of surveillance. You got to kind of take that, you know what I mean, with a grain of salt. I forgot, you know me, my memory is terrible, especially with some of these shows. They be so far apart in seasons. But I did forget that Rob was his man from back in the day.
Right. That's, and slap Rob your was daddy. The cat.
Yeah, I even forgot that whole shit. It just sound funny. I got to watch for that scene, but I forgot, as I think about it, Rob was the one that took him out to the spot when he just, you know, he had just a little bit of coke. You know what I'm saying? So it was his man, you know. So, yeah, I forgot that they had that long of a history together.
That's that. Slap your goddamn daddy. Slap your daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Peaches. How that's going to fall out. That was an interesting scene when you see all of the money. And I like Peaches' line. He was like, I like living more than I like money. You know what I mean? And I believe him. I believe him. I hope Peaches ain't on that shit. I think it's deeper, but we're going to see. And I think, and I'm happy that they seem like, you know, at least they're giving us breadcrumbs. It seems like they're going to delve a little deeper into Peaches' his backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, D-Ray been holding it down, and he's had some great scenes, you know what I mean, as Peaches, but he's, you know, just the muscle, you know what I mean? The enforcer holding him down like the body man, but I'm curious, what's he do when he off the clock? We don't know. He's one of those that, you know, you kind of know a little bit about Leon, you know, of course you know some shit about Jerome and Louis, you even know some shit about Wanda. We don't really know much about Peaches. Right.
And that's the type of shit we want to know. We don't want to know about Rob and his people over there getting high.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I hope they do give Peaches a backstory, but we're running out of time because we still need a backstory on that damn funny looking baby mama that Franklin got.
We're going to see what's going to happen with her. I'm still trying to figure out. Again, like, he seemed like that's somebody he could conspire with. They, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't peep, but to put that in context, so this is how they met. I don't know, because I saw him on The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking to a point that you made up top about, you know, just kind of how Franklin moves and how people, I forget who you were talking about with the, with the Franklin and Louis, where they were like, you know, Louis needs to kind of, you know, play her position type situation.
That's what people were saying. But Louis been the brain for a minute. But go ahead.
Right. But that's the thing about the Franklin character. And it was interesting because he was talking about it in the interview. You know, people are so behind Franklin. It's almost on some Walter White shit. Mm-hmm. You know, the anti-hero. People so behind him that they justify all of the bad shit, right? So justify him wilding out. Even like with the Kanye shit, like you love the records. So you could do the dumb shit. You'd be like, but that record is hard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was like, you know, we had this character, you know, we had, you know, in the last season, Franklin, you know, his father, who is a Panther, who's trying to save the community, you know, you go on Twitter, they like, get this nigga out of here.
Right,
you know
what I'm saying? Right.
Like, and we was saying that, right. Like, you know, like the tolerance was short because you get so caught up in the, you know, like the fever of the come up. You know what I'm saying? That you just like awesome by any means necessary shit, and you forget that this cat is really destroying the community.
Right.
And this is a cat that's really trying to preserve the community. But so there's that. But then in the same interview, he gave context, which I didn't realize. So Veronique is her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, if you remember, when Franklin fucking displaced that black bookstore? Remember them black cats?
Right, right, right.
And he got them up out of there?
Right.
Well, they sued him. And when they sued him, Veronique was their counselor. That was their lawyer. That's how they met. And he dug her so much off of that that they got cool.
They showed that on the show?
I don't know if they showed that on the show. Again, you know me and the memory. I don't remember that shit. But Damson made sure to say it in the interview to kind of give context. So I might want to double back and see. They might have.
Right. And it might have been like a, you know, the name sounds familiar, but I don't right. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah,
they, it might have just been a passing glance.
Yeah, I think they're going to give us a backstory because they can't just have her being the baby moms out of nowhere and this far along. Like, again, I think they're going to be, you know, they're coming back. But we'll see. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, again, like, I don't think the baby's going to make it. But that's just me being cynical. I just don't see how that's going to happen. I don't think that whole shit's going to last. Something might happen to homegirl, but we will see. Because the reason I'm thinking that is because also, you know, his history with these women, you know what I mean? And it seems like besides the money and this new lifestyle that, you know, that's the only thing. And we don't even know if he really loved her, but she's the portal for his heir, if he was to have an heir. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like something's going to have to humble him. He's going to have to lose something. So I just think that, you know, putting this carrot out there, even though I don't think he seems to be that excited about the baby and the friend. Like, he don't seem like a father with a kid on the way. Well, you know, not really. It's only her talking about, yo, the baby.
Franklin,
he's like, yo, what's up with the building?
He's a full-ass capitalist at this point. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
He ain't tripping on that shit school. At all. He like, nigga.
80s capitalist, too. Yeah, yeah, that's
I got a cat. I got a lac and a room full of money. And I'm the plug
that I
nigga.
Look at. Yeah.
Fuck all
come
that.
Come on. Yeah, that kid could stay where that kid at. He ain't splitting. Yeah, I mean, we'd be with them hard fathers. This is my money. You know what I'm saying?
Get
you
your
ain't
own.
Getting shit. Yeah, you better make your own fortune and sell your own crack. so, yeah, man. I'm back. I'm into it. I'm gonna try to catch up on this fucking on the Tommy. See what's what. Try to get with the force before it go too far. I haven't watched. I don't know if we're gonna really be talking about it, but you know, HBO put that new Lakers show up. Winning time.
Yeah, that shit looked dope.
It looked real dope. You know, I haven't seen it. I was out in AC, so I'm probably check that out shit tonight. You know, it's fucked up that Adam McKay and Will Ferrell fell out over this shit. You know, they've been a, you know what I mean? They've been a duo for a while. You know
why they fell out?
Gary Sanchez. Allegedly, I mean, it probably was a little bit, you know, some shit going on, friction for a while, but it seems like the straw was that Will Ferrell wanted to play, I don't know, it was Jerry West. Like, he wanted to play one of the characters, you know what I'm saying, in the show. And Adam McKay was like, he casted somebody else because he felt like, you know, Will might be like a distraction. You know what I'm saying? And like, Will is a basketball cat. Like, he loves that shit. You know, he played in that old school, what was it? Not old school. What's the movie that he played? I can't remember the name, but he played the movie with Andre 3000 and D-Ray. I forget the name of it. But y'all hit us in the comments. You know the name of the shit. I can't remember. But, you know, he liked that basketball shit. So this is probably a story that was close to him, too. And homie was like, nah. And that was it. He's like, man, fuck this shit.
With the nah. With each other.
Yeah. It might not have been nah. It might have been a little more well-worded.
Either whatever it was, it was nah.
It was definitely received as a nah. So, yeah. So that's what that shit is, man.
Yeah, that shit going to be funny as fuck when Louis and them get a new plug.
Yeah. We're going to see what happens. We're going to see how that all works out. Yeah. We're going to see how that all works out. If that's going to be a conflict at all.
Right. They, you know, might hit Franklin with a nah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Franklin going to need them. And then maybe we'll see about what's going to happen with that Arkansas shit. Maybe they're going to kind of double back, and we're going to see a little bit about what they got cooking.
Yeah.
Because we would led down a path with the Louis Jerome Enterprise, and hopefully that shit pays off. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully we're going to see some shit. And I hope Leon got a little bit more depth than just, you know, no matter how much loot I get, I'm staying in the projects forever.
Well, I mean, it's niggas like that, though. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got all them ambitions to be over here and over there. You know what I mean? They get their money and they do their things, you know?
No, I dig it, but I just wanted a little bit more storyline. I fuck with Leon. I even like that position. I just want to see more of that. You know what I mean? Because he's the guy that kind of keeps him grounded on a certain level much as he can.
Right. And then when you see the trajectory and, you know what I'm saying, in the situation that Leon had got himself in, where Uncle Jerome had to come get him up out of in the projects, you know.
Right.
You could tell he want to have that kind of clout. You know what I'm saying? In the hood, like round the way, not, you know what I'm saying, not trying to be a fancy politician. He want to be respected in the space. And now he got that little crew behind him, the same cat that was coming at his neck is with him, you know what I'm saying? And looking at him, and you can see he looking at his every move to see if he going to flinch, you know what I'm saying? And Leon standing up on who he's supposed to be in that environment. And I just think that's who he want to be, that kind of nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Right. That's what's up, man. You got any predictions, or
I'm following along, man. I want to see some backstories. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like Alton might not be dead. The way Reed playing it, like, I didn't kill your father. Like, he probably done struck some kind of deal. And I think we said this at the end of last season that he might have, you know what I'm saying, worked something out with him.
Game of podcast or something.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Black Panther Radio. Live from Cuba with Asada.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
So,
you know, that's that shit. I think Jerome now might get a new plug.
Yeah, I think that's gonna have to happen. You know. Let's give it some type of some type of conflict between the two of them. You know what I'm saying? Give it some type of shit that Franklin going to have to deal with. And we're going to see how that's going to fall out. You know what I mean? See what's happening. We still got that dirty cop on the side. We're going to know what's going to develop with that.
So not intriguing. You know what I'm saying?
cooking greens, or what was he cooking in the shit?
I don't know what the fuck he was doing, man. That one cat that they killed, he was popping for that one episode. And he pulled up in the Ferrari. You know what I'm saying? Or Lambo, whatever he was in.
Oh, the white guy?
Nah, the black dude. The cat from Englewood. That was with Scully that got his neck broke.
Oh, right. That came out with the cats, with the Uzis.
Yeah.
The one, to try to set up Scully. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a quick one.
Yeah, he was he came in and took over for one episode.
Yeah. We're going to see, man. I don't know what's going on with that Dirty Cop. And at this point, shit's kind of boring. Like Wanda's starting to get somewhat of a storyline. I like Gail Bean. I like Wanda as a character. I'm just kind of like, what we going to do? Is she going to go back to smoking crack? Or is she going is it a redemption story? Like, is that the hope? Is she going to become the hope of the show type shit? If so, it's got to be a little bit more entertaining. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Hope, just hope, naked hope ain't always, you know, that interesting. You know what I'm saying? We want hope, but it's gotta have a little bit more of a plot to it. Anyway. Shit, yo. Also, real quick, Friday, March 11th, I'll be out in Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania at Soul Joe's Comedy Show, one night, 7 p.m. show. Come through. I got the link on my Instagram page, but Soul Joe's Comedy Show, 7 p.m. this Friday, Jeffersonville, PA, just outside of Philly. Come through. All right, well, shit, you know what it is. Till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.